It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. Fired up, man. Kicking off a new year, man. And our first guest, straight stud, y'all. Man.
Top of the charts, at least from our perspective. I think you guys are going to agree as well. Man, yeah. If you could ever dream, I mean, just dream big, what would I want to be, you know?
I dream big all the time, man. I dream big all the time. And it's still not as big as he's riding in, man. I'm like, ooh, I'm so jealous. Like, you know, they say heaven is full of the things you get sent to hell for. Man, his job is full of the things that, you know, no doubt, we all dream of. We're like, oh, my God, if I could only get seat time in A, B, C, D, man, what a blast that would be.
Yeah, so take Rockstar, scratch it off the list. Although this could be, you know, kind of Rockstar status. And maybe, you know, in that category, famous actor, blown it off the charts, and then bam, there you land, right there, top of the charts, and especially for us car guys, it's rock star status, man. That's where I'm at. Man, this is Cooper McNeil. This guy is racing legit stuff all over the circuit, man. Oh, we went and saw him race, three seasons ago. Fantastic.
Yeah, man.
Daytona 24 Hours. Awesomest race ever. God, so jealous.
It's insane. Yeah, it's one of those things, as a guy who loves racing, I've been racing, you know, my first memory is watching my dad at a racetrack. Very first memory of my life, which is, you know, kind of funny. That's how hard racing is in my blood. Man, as I sit back and look at this stuff he's able to do, and, you know, at the level he's able to do it in, man, it's absolutely amazing. Few of us will ever get to see, you know, the competitiveness of what drives some of these guys. But you're looking at races like 24 hours at Daytona. Kevin and I went to this, and literally it's one of the coolest experiences you could ever see, and most definitely ever hear. Like, just the audio portion, my God, it's unbelievable. What you hear as those cars go by. Oh.
When you go to an IMSA, like a sports car race, there's multiple different series all running at the same time. So it's like you're getting to see multiple races, you know, all at once and all intermingled, getting down in the pits, checking out the cars. It's mind-blowing. And Cooper, man, he is two-time ALMS GTC champion, four-time Ferrari Challenge champion, two-time Sebring 12-hour winner. I mean, the list goes on and on. Three-time Petit Le Mans winner. God, this guy just crushes it so fast and living the life, man.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to talk to him. Just to know what that experience must feel like. We all dream about that, you know? Hell, we got people probably listening. It's like, man, I get a little crazy out on the curvy roads out in my neck of the woods. You know, I tear the tires off of it. I could do that. But in reality, man, we find out really fast when you run out of talent halfway through a turn that it's a different level. This man has it. He owns it. He lives it. He loves it. And we get to talk to him on the Two Guys Garage Podcast. So let's take a break. When we come back, Cooper McNeil, hold on, y'all. Or as he would tell you, buckle up. This is going to be a ride. It's Kevin Bird, Willie B. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we have our boy Cooper McNeil on the podcast today. Man, dude, we're so jelly. Let me give you a little knuckle bump. Ah, dude. I got to tell you, man, I absolutely love watching people like yourself have a blast in what you do, man. It's gotta be amazing.
Yeah, Kevin, Willie, boys, thanks for having me. Super stoked to be here. Yeah, like you said, there's nothing quite like doing 200 miles an hour legally. That's the key. But super stoked to be here on the show with you guys.
Well, and then you're side by side, man. You're dicing it up, mixing it up. I mean, it's just got to be full on adrenaline rush. And, you know, when you do those long races, now clearly you've got teammates when you're doing a 24-hour race, but you could be in the cockpit for, you know, several hours at a time, you know, probably have to do multiple shifts. How do you even manage that energy level, that sort of adrenaline spike, but then probably the crash on the other end? You know, what's that like getting in kind of these bigger races like that?
Hey, are you wearing a diaper? Are you wearing a diaper? Come on, man, hit it with the hard questions. You wearing a diaper?
You know, everybody asked me that, and of 15 years of racing cars, I've never once peed in the seat. So I've got that streak going for me. But Yeah, no, wheel to wheel, fender to fender, 200 miles an hour for, 24 hours straight, but 2 to 3 hours straight at any given time. So, I mean, definitely it, when you first get in the car, you have some nerves, but once you turn a few laps, it's right back to business. And, the thing about these endurance races is, like you said, they're, 10 hours of Petit Le Mans, 12 hours of Sebring, 24 hours of Daytona, 24 hours of Le Mans, which obviously you guys have heard of. You can't win the race in the first hour or the eighth hour or the 12th hour. You got to make it to the end. So you really got to focus on not putting a wheel off, keeping the wheels straight, not rubbing with any other cars around you at 90 or 190 miles an hour. Really keeping these machines in tip-top condition for the end of the race, for battle at the end of, for example, the 24 hours of Daytona, trying to win a watch. So, you have these endurance races, which are really flat out sprint races, because the level of reliability and the level of technology on these modern race cars, these modern GT3, GTE cars, is so, so advanced that the racing is really 24 hours of sprint racing, because the cars are so reliable. So you're really pounding out qualifying laps every single lap for 24 hours straight. Every driver is in your car, and for that matter, every other car, for 24 hours straight, because of the level of reliability in these cars. So that's what makes the racing, in my opinion, so exciting and such close, hard, good racing.
Hey, all right, I got a couple questions in that. We got to come back to the watch thing, but you racing that for a watch? That's I need more details. Secondly, one of the best pieces of advice, he's so right on this, you guys, best pieces of advice I got when I was doing some serious motocross. I raced pro motocross for a while, and one of the best things somebody told me is, hey, man, you got to slow down and you'll go faster. You don't have to win the race in the first lap, the second lap, the third lap. He's like, pick your point, make your moves, but you don't have to do everything on the first lap. And a lot of times when you're in that, you're in that position and you're racing, a lot of racers make that mistake of trying to do too much too soon versus picking off the pieces throughout the course of the race. I think that's good advice you give people out there that are, out seeking some throttle therapy.
Now, when you're going through these races for so long, I mean, are you at 90%, 98% kind of until you get to that last, what, 5 laps, 50 laps? What's kind of the strategy going in?
Oh, man. I mean, honestly, like I said, nowadays, every lap is a qualifying lap. You're pretty much 100% every lap for 24 hours straight. Because of the level of competition in the racing that I do is the top endurance racing in the country and top two in the world. So the level of competition just doesn't allow for you to be at 98%. You really have to be 100% the whole time, especially with the reliability of the cars. So, there was a famous racing driver that said, I think it was Mario Andretti that said, to finish first, you must first finish. So, I mean, no truer words have ever been spoken in endurance racing. To make it to win the Rolex at the end of the 24 hours of Daytona, you have to be there at the end.
Talk to me about that watch, yeah. Man. What?
Yeah.
Y'all doing that for a watch?
I got a watch. I didn't have to race for it or nothing.
You could buy.
I'll race you for it. Let's go.
Well, essentially, if you win the race, you do buy one if you're the one paying for the race to if the race car to run, but. But yeah, if you win the 24 hours of Daytona, you win a watch. So you win a Rolex Daytona. So, which is engraved on the back is Rolex 24 hour winner. So I personally wouldn't know because the ISI finish at Daytona is second, and they don't give a watch out for second place. Unfortunately, we came so close so many times. I've done the race. God, I don't know, 13 times ish now, something like that. So,
hey man, I know after a good day on the track, when I leave the track. And I'm driving home, be it in my car, race car, or in any car. It feels really weird how slow everybody's moving, man. When you get done doing these sessions and you're driving home, aren't you like, would y'all get out of the way? Speed up. Like, yeah. What? God, y'all going slow.
Yeah, Willie, that's a pretty true reality about it. You get, you're doing 190 miles an hour plus for hours at any given time, and then you get your little Nissan rental car and you leave the track to go to the hotel or go home, and it's like basically like time is standing still and everybody's stopped, but at the same time you're so tired, I just put the seat back, put some music on, and just relax. Really,
like, why is everybody driving in slow motion?
The street is for street driving, and the racetrack's for racetrack driving. So kind of have to, you know, separate.
Oh
the
yeah,
two.
That's awesome though.
I learned that lesson the hard way. Yeah. Trust me.
tell us a little bit about the rig that you're running, right? Tell us a little bit about your car. Now, we saw you, God, was it 2-3 years ago? But I think you've kind of upgraded a little bit since then. So you're running now a Porsche, right?
Yeah,
a couple 911.
A couple of years ago, I was in the Ferrari. This last year, 2021, was in the Porsche RSR, which is the pinnacle of GT sports cars in the world. But then this year, everything switched in IMSA, everything switched from GTE to GT3. So I'm running a Porsche GT3R. So just a different spec race car. It's got ABS, traction control, about 500 horsepower, lots of aerodynamics for going through corners quick. So a little bit different car that I've been racing this last year, but nonetheless, still a badass Porsche race car.
What's your average speed in that thing?
Well, it depends on the racetrack. I mean, at Daytona, I want to say probably 65 to 70% of the lap is full throttle. So on the banking at Daytona, we're doing buck 75, buck 80 in a draft going into turn one. So down to turn one's probably 50 miles an hour. So yeah, 180 miles an hour down to 50 in about 100 yards.
Yeah.
If that.
As fans, one of the craziest things we witnessed was, you know, watching you guys race that time was how hard and how insane and what the brakes are put through in a race like that. When you see the rotors just glowing, like, you know, like somebody's just lighting them on fire. These things are glowing all around the track, and especially through some of those tight, you know, those tight Coke bottle neck areas, you know, and some of those really tight turns where you guys are coming, you know, down to a speed where you can handle the turns. It's crazy watch how those brakes catch on fire, man. Just like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. What's even more crazy about that is that's every single corner of every single lap for 24 hours straight. So really, you know, pays a testament to how advanced the technology is in modern sports car racing and how special it is, because every lap, every corner is flat out as fast as you can go, as fast as you can push the envelope to the very raggedy edge of crashing. So it like you said, it looks easy, but it's far from easy.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So what did you do in the early days that got you prepared for where you're at today?
Run from the law. Oh, no, sorry.
did you start in like you know, karting or anything like that, or did you go into full-size cars right out of the gate and never look back?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Kevin. Actually, my dad raced for 20 years, so I grew up going to the racetrack, watching him race. And he actually bought me a go-kart when I was little, but wouldn't let me drive it because of how dangerous they are. Go figure. So,
dad vibes right there.
Right, exactly. So I actually hopped in a 1992 BMW 325 IS with 200,000 miles on it that was converted to a race car when I was 15 years old. And just literally put in the seat time, went to a racetrack nearby where I live in Chicago, and had a world-class coach by the name of Randy Popst, who's the second winningest sports car driver in the country. And just put in the seat time, learning car control, learning racecraft, getting better, getting faster, getting more comfortable with driving a car at the limit of every corner of every lap for extended periods of time. And once my skill level progressed, then the speeds of the car progressed, you know, went from the BMW to the 325 to an M3, which was faster, more horsepower. And then went from there to faster race cars and just built speed, you know, built my speed, built the seat time, and got better and better. And then, went pro racing when I was 17, 18. Won a couple championships right off the bat, which was huge, and then never looked back.
Bro, you got to be in one of these jobs where, man, tell me you can't. Every day you got to laugh a little bit at work. Like, damn, I can't believe I got to rip this, you know, this fast and have somebody. Like, yes, it's intense. Yes, it's there's a lot of endurance and training and mental preparedness that comes into play. But, you know, every once in a while, you just got to be like, you know, like,
No, it's no, it's quite special what I get to do, what I'm allowed to do, and very, you know, humble and blessed to be able to do what I do, and definitely don't take it for granted. You know, it's, you know, endurance racing is a very physically demanding sport, like you said, not only mentally, but physically. You know, you don't have to be really strong to endurance race, but you have to have a lot of cardio. It's a heat endurance is huge. Mental endurance is huge. It really takes a toll on the body and the mind. And, you know, I've been doing it for almost 15 years and I'm 29 years old now. So,
Cooper, I'm not sure if you know this. You know, cardio is actually a Latin word that translated. It means ham sandwich.
No. Oh, don't worry. I've had a few ham sandwiches. Now, don't you worry about it.
Man, I'd be in great shape if it was ham sandwich.
Right?
You know?
No kidding. No kidding.
I'd be like Arnold Schwarzenegger over here.
Hey, there you go.
Give me a damn ham sandwich.
Hey, man, one question, and we got to go to break real fast. But at some point, some lady across these fruity plains have asked you what you do for a living, and you, my friend Cooper McNeil, got to drop the most awesome line ever. I drive a race car for a living. Ooh, you got to tell us somewhere where you're going to use that line coming up next and how that worked out, because I know people don't believe you.
Do the ladies throw their undergarments at you, or is it just me and Willie?
I signed some guy's butt one time at Le Mans, so... So there is that.
That's funny, man. I don't know who I feel more sorry for, him or you, or the
no
Sharpie.
Anyone standing near there. Yeah.
Hey, no kidding.
Nobody's perfect. Everybody's butt's got a crack in it. All right, it's the Two Guys Drive Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B. We're back in just a minute. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And he is Cooper McNeil, the fastest man we've ever talked to. This guy, he drives like 200 miles an hour on a regular basis. Tell me that wouldn't put a smile on your face. Who doesn't like that? All right, Coop, we got to ask you. At some point, some lady has come up to you and probably hit you with a question. What's a man like you do in a place like this? No, what do you do for a living? So, do you ever get a drop the, I drive race cars for a living, man? Come on. You had to at least once.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be the line you just introduce yourself with wherever you go. Hi, I drive race cars.
Yeah, right? Almost as good as I'm Tiger Woods or something like that. But,
right. Yeah.
Whatever. It's been dropped once or twice, but I have a lovely new fiance, so, don't have to worry about any of that.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Man.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Is huge, man. You're gonna have the ability to do whatever your wife tells you can do. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. She doesn't care about race cars at all. So it actually works out perfect.
Yeah, man. I don't know about you. I went out and found me a woman with some warrants because I know she's never going to call the cops. Hopefully you did as well, man. But seriously, if I was one of your boys, I'd be like, he drives race cars for a living. Just use that as breaking the ice. That it's got to be one of the coolest jobs and the cars you get to drive. You know, that's something that a lot of people don't get experience. You know, you have names like Ferrari, Porsche. That in itself is something kind of unique, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, people, that's the thing about racing in the States is, you know, it's not very big. In Europe, it's, you know, motorsports is the number one sport over there. Here, it's football. So, you know, you say you race cars and people are like, oh, cool. Like, you know, what do you do? You know, NASCAR or whatever. But, you know, it's like, oh, no, I race sports cars, endurance racing, Porsches, Ferraris, BMWs. And they're like, oh, that's cool. I drive a car every day. You know, I could do that. So they don't really have an appreciation for it. But then you spend 10 minutes educating them about it when you say it's 130 degrees in the car for 2 hours straight. You're pulling between 2 and 4 G's. That puts it into perspective a little bit for some people, at least.
Well, I always thought it was sad. I grew up from a very young age, you know, one of my best friends around the corner. His dad was a huge IMSA sports car fanatic. They always went to the races. So I was at least around it all the time. I got exposure on what, to me, awesome real racing is. But most, like you said, most of Americans, they're not even really familiar. They hear Le Mans, they see the Ford GT or some other car, maybe the Corvette that's, won. It's on the news once in a while. But, man, they've never been exposed. They never really got to appreciate. And, Willie, you can probably, give a little testament on sort of your first experience at Daytona a couple of years ago, what your impressions are versus, going to a NASCAR race or dirt track race or anything else. To me, I think it's just the epitome of, you've mentioned technology so many times. The technology's there. All the coolest cars in the world are there. Prototypes, cars that you don't see on the road or some variation. They're full built to go fast. You have the full spectrum there. You can't go wrong with a sports car race. I think they're awesome.
Yeah, for me personally, it was a whole different experience than any race I'd ever been at. It was one of those things that just watching the cars, like if you're serious about speed, this is what you got to go see. This is what you have to watch and witness, because these cars, these drivers, and these races are just absolutely mind-blowing what they're putting these machines and drivers through. It is one of the most intense, even as a fan, when you hear these cars and you watch the speed that they're coming at you at and how hard they're going from, 180, down to, something where they can handle a super incredible tight turn and coming out of it, trying to manage the car and the power and do this repeatedly over and over, through the night, through the elements, into the morning hours, through sun glare, and still a level of intensity that we can't, really even fathom unless you're in that position. And trust me, at 200 miles an hour, things come at you obscenely fast. It is something you have to be heads up on and absolutely in control of everything going on in and around you in that car. And I totally, hats off to you guys. I love racing. I've been racing a lot of different things throughout my entire life. And man, hats off to you, bro. That's an experience that's got to be straight wild, man.
Yeah, it is. It is straight wild. That's a very good way to put it, Willie. And honestly, that's one of the most beautiful things about endurance racing in IMSA is, you see, like Kevin, you mentioned the prototypes, but people can't relate to prototypes. They don't see those on the street, but they see Porsches, they see Ferraris, they see BMWs, Mercedes, Audis, Acuras.
Well, to see a Corvette, C8 like battling out with an R8, from Audi and a Ford GT.
Exactly. Yep. They see all these cars on the street and they can relate to them and go, they can go into the showroom and look at these cars, an iteration of them, not the exact car, but, something that they can relate to, which really has been building the fan base over the last, multiple years is just the real relatability of these cars to the average person. Seeing these Lamborghinis and Ferraris and really cool cars on television and then, running into them on the street here and there and seeing the stuff in person really, really helps build the fan base and allow somebody to, to relate. Not only that, but in IMSA, you get a ticket to the race. You can get into the paddock and stand right up and close and personal with these cars, talk to the drivers in person. Talk to the crew, look at what goes into a pit stop, watch these people wrench on the cars and work on them and get up and close and personal and take videos and pictures and all sorts of cool stuff where in Formula One or some of these other different series, you can't get anywhere near these cars. So IMSA endurance racing in the country is really a special sport because people can get up close and personal and relate to the cars.
Now, do you have a favorite? So if you could pick any ride, even if it's just to, do some hot laps in, is there any car out there in the series that, you just love, you've been in it before, or you just can't wait to get in one?
Oh, well, honestly, that's one of the things about what I've been doing the last, almost 15 years is I've been able to choose what I want to drive. I've been fortunate enough to be in the position where I can do that. So I've sort of been driving, what I desire to drive, be it the Ferrari a couple of years ago, or the RSR last year, which are two fantastic cars. Those are some of the best cars that you can drive in the sports car world. So really fortunate to drive those, but, from a sheer fan standpoint, I'd love to, take the Corvette for a couple hot laps. That would be really cool. never really drove. Well, one time I drove a Lamborghini Ferrari just for one short race, but I think it'd be cool to hop in a Lambo and turn some laps at Anger. But you know, been fortunate enough to be able to drive what I want to, so it's been quite special.
Hey, bro, what about tracks? Is there a track where you would love to lay down some stripes on? Is there a certain place that you would love to race at, or just take a car to and unlock it for a day or two?
Well, I would like to do some rally racing. I've never done off-road racing, so doing something like the Dakar, which was going on this last week, actually, in Saudi Arabia, I think would be really cool, some off-road racing. You know, there's some stuff like Fuji, which is a very famous F1 racetrack that I've never been to. That would be amazing to race at. But a couple of my favorites are obviously Le Mans. That track is quite special. It's, you know, eight and a half miles of wide open. 80% of the lap is full throttle, and you're doing 190 miles an hour for, you know, minutes at a time on the Mulsanne straight. So that's extremely special. And then another one of my favorites is Montreal. Racing at Montreal up in Canada, they only race there once a year, and that's during the F1 race. So I've done the support races like Ferrari Challenge and Porsche Cup race up there, and that to me is one of the best driver's tracks that I've been to. But I think some off-road racing would be cool, kind of like maybe Baja. Maybe one day do Baja. That would be cool.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I got a buddy that just broke into Baja last year, man. He's been twice cool. Now. First time out. We're going to have him on, Willie. First time out, he won his class.
No kidding.
First time out. Now, granted, there's a lot of luck, right? Like, who's breaking down, who's not?
Oh, yeah.
But second time around wasn't as good as the first time around, but he's having a blast, man. So I think you should do it. Come back with some stories.
All right, Cooper, I got a question. When you ask most people what do they like most about their job, the answers are usually payday and lunch breaks. What do you like most about doing what you do for a living? Because a lot of people never get experience. So for us on this end, watching you do all of this stuff, man, what would you say is your favorite part of the day? Is it the first lap? Is it that mental game that goes on before you sort of plug yourself into the mechanism? Is it, you know, midway through the race when the car's biting and everything's working for you? Like, what part do you feel, you know, more appreciative of or admire the most when it comes to these days?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is obviously winning. You know, I don't go to the racetrack to finish second. So when you put all this preparation, time, money, effort, blood, sweat, tears, emotions, everything that goes into these long endurance races, and then you win, is just, I mean, there's no better feeling really than winning, you know, a 24-hour race or 12 hours of Sebring or Petit Le Mans like I did this at the end of this last year. Honestly, I mean, forget the cooled cars, forget the sports car driving, forget the, you know, doing 200 miles an hour, forget all that stuff. For me, it's the travel. And you know, bringing my lady along too is quite special. So going to all these cool places, you know, all these little towns like Lime Rock Park, Connecticut, or Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, or Montreal, or Le Mans, or, you know, I was racing in Tuscany a few months ago. I mean, for me, just the travel and experiencing different cultures, especially with, you know, somebody that's special to you is for me, the best part about it.
Well, they flip that around on you. So, you know, it all seems glorious, you know, like I take the whole kit and caboodle, but there's gotta be some times where it's just tough. What's the toughest part about your job?
Oh, I'm 6'5" and spending most of the time in a little airplane seat or a hotel room that the bed I don't cooperate, my back doesn't cooperate with, or, you know, just, you know, the time away from home is difficult. Obviously spending a lot of time at the racetracks because, you know, the race is on, you know, if it's a 24-hour race, starts Saturday and Sunday, but a lot of these races are 2-3 hours and they're on Sunday. But you're there from Wednesday to Sunday or Thursday to Monday or something like that. So you're not there for a day or two. So really spend a lot of time away from home. And that's definitely one of the most difficult aspects about it.
Well, man, 6'5", you always got to be hungry. Because you always sweating in there. It's like, man. Cooper's always hungry.
Yeah. Not only that, but always sore too. I actually just got a massage about an hour before we got on the phone call here, but that's all part of the deal.
No doubt, man. No doubt. All right. How do people find you socially, man? How do people plug in to where you're going to be at, find out more about what you're driving and pushing through the races and just more about you?
Yeah, pretty much I would just say, you know, social media stuff, Instagram, basically just, you know, my personal page, Cooper McNeil, or our WeatherTech Racing page. You know, there's a lot of information on there. Also the IMSA Instagram page or Twitter, really, you know, you guys know Twitter. It's great for, you know, live action information and up-to-date real-time information. So especially during the race, that's a good place to see it.
Yeah, a couple extra tips, man. Check out the WeatherTech girls. Uh-huh. You'll thank me later.
There you go.
And, you know, man, we've done so much with your dad with WeatherTech, man. You guys make some of the best products in the world.
Thank you.
I got them in all my cars, so check out the WeatherTech gear. God, you can't top their accessories. They're just number one.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. You'll thank me for that, too. Yeah.
We put the time and effort into you know, manufacturing the best products we can in America, hiring American workers, building American parts, machinery, using American machines, tools, etc. So we really try and support our economy, not somebody else's.
Yeah, I met your dad, God, I don't know, about 10, 11, 12 years ago. Got the full plant tour, man. I can totally vouch for how you guys do it, how you do it in America. Came back a couple years later. Man, it's been a great kind of run with you guys, and I love watching the product side. I love watching you race. It's too much fun. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Hey man, I asked your dad one time if I could drive his GT. He looked at me like he did you when you were 15, 16. So,
yeah. Trust me, I've seen that look a few too many times, Willie. You're not the only one.
I was like, I'll take that as a no. Thank you very much, man. Awesome meeting you. All right, Cooper. Hey man, we definitely appreciate your time, brother. Always, it's a pleasure to have you.
Anytime. Happy to be here anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go, man. And don't forget about our show, Air Weekends on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. We're also available on Motor Trend Streaming On Demand, which is a great resource to find us. My man Kevin Bird, our producer Scoop, executive producer Bob Ecker, and I'm Willie B. And thanks to our guest, Cooper McNeil.
And don't forget to check out our website, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're everywhere on social, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Two Guys Garage. Two Guys Garage Podcast is a copyright, 2022, Brenton Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved.
Whew, that's some throttle therapy on a podcast, man.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Dude, that guy is so fast, man. He's 6'5". He's probably wearing a 13 or 14 size shoe. I don't see how he fits in some of those cars, but he does a damn good job. And we're definitely part of that Go Coop sort of cheering team, man. He's killing it.
Amen. All right, guys. I had a blast. I hope you did, too. We'll catch you on the next Two Guys Garage Podcast.
Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Brenton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.